You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
This is Generations, my friends. I am Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, father of five, raising my children in a day where 36% of children are born without fathers. Yes, I said that right. 36% of children born without fathers, up from 5% in 1960. We are living in the devastation of the Western world, especially the Western family. And during the time that 36% of children are born without fathers and half of marriages end in divorce, you find the church as effective as ever. 61% of the youth in this country are churched. That according to the Barna Research Report that just came out last week or two. 6 out of 10 kids you see out there in the average high school, they've been churched.
That's going to make such a huge difference, I'm certain of it.
Oh, the impact will be incredible. We might even have 50% of children born without fathers in another 5 years. What they've discovered is that 75% of these youth disengage from the church. So you only wind up with 25% of them hanging in there after, what, 24, 25 years of age. And according to this Barna report, he says, much of the ministry to teenagers needs an overhaul. Kinnaman said, and this is a quote from the press release, it's not entirely surprising that deep, lasting spiritual transformation rarely happens among teenagers. It's hard work at any age, let alone with the distractions of youth. And since teens' faith often mirrors the intensity of their parents, and boy, that's powerful, the teens' faith will mirror the intensity of their parents, which is probably at a minimum. Youth workers face steep challenges because they are trying to impart something of spiritual significance that teenagers generally do not receive from home. I realize that's a mouthful, but what they're saying is that teens aren't getting it at home. So that's a big problem. Teens are not getting it at home. My friends, there is something significantly, foundationally, basically wrong with the way that churches do evangelism and discipleship. We don't need a carpet cleaning in the churches across America. We need to rip out the concrete and reform the foundations of ministry in this country. We do not get people saved. That's the bottom line. People are not getting saved. With all of the revivals, with all of the tent meetings, with all of the youth activities, with all of the youth groups and all of the churchiness going on every single Sunday, it is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. We're not getting people saved. In just a moment, want to talk about how you get people saved. Want to talk about evangelizing and discipling the nations for Christ. That next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. There is this program, Dare to Share, that is really trying hard to reach teens and their friends. They recognize the problem that we brought up before the last break, and that is that we are losing the teens by a 75%. Some statistics put it at 80, 85%, but we're losing our teens from the church. And Dare to Share wants to address this problem. This is a quote from their website. Here it is. The problem of teens fleeing the church upon graduation has spiraled into a crisis. No kidding. Dare to Share is convinced that the answer to this crisis in Christianity lies in an aggressive initiative to transform youth ministry from reactive and entertainment-based to Great Commission-driven and Scripture-based. Now, their idea is you got to get the teens evangelizing. And if you can get the teens evangelizing, you might be able to get the teens and their friends saved. Now, to some extent, I like this idea, but the only problem is that the youth today are not being discipled. And Barna and Kinnaman, I think, nailed the problem here, Dave. They said the youth are not getting discipled. They're not being reached. In fact, Kinnaman recommends mentoring processes to develop personalized one-on-one evangelization or discipleship experiences. I agree with that because that sounds an awful lot like the Great Commission. The problem with what we have been doing is that we are not intensively discipling our young people. Nobody has taken the time to intensively disciple on a daily basis for 5, 10, 15 years. Nobody has taken 5,000 hours, the 5,000 hours that's required, to disciple a young person. We're still trying to get conversions. We're still trying to take a message, a three-hour message to 30,000 people and hoping that we get a few saved in the process. But that's not Jesus' method. Jesus doesn't want conversions. He doesn't want commitments to Christ that'll last for 11 hours. He doesn't want decisions. Jesus doesn't want conversions. He wants disciples. He says, go out there and disciple the world. Disciple the nations. Disciple the family groups. Disciple fathers. This is what he wants. Meantime, you've got the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee report that finds that 70% of teens involved in church youth groups stop attending church within 2 years. It's almost identical to what Barna found out. Well, the fact of the matter is, folks, whatever strategy we're using is not working. It doesn't work to throw a kid into a youth group or a Sunday school. It just doesn't work. Because, Dave, I think fundamentally it's just not biblical. God commands us to disciple our children as we sit in the house. And you know what? He points the finger right at fathers and says, fathers, you're responsible for doing this. Dave, the problem is with families and fathers. They're not discipling their children. And it doesn't matter how many youth groups, how many church programs, how many Sunday schools, how many children's churches we put together. That's not God's way.
And that's what Dave Kinnaman found out in a study. He says that the children's intensity follows their parents' intensity. If dad doesn't love God with all his heart, he can be sure that his children won't love God with all his heart. If it's just a little part and little add-on to his life to go to church, his child will find it to be just a little add-on. Because dad is teaching his child, he's passing on his faith very effectively. The problem is he didn't have much faith to begin with. If we reach the dads, we'll reach the kids.
Today, the question we are looking at on Generations is this very simple question. How do we get people saved? Now, we know the Spirit of God blows wherever He wills, and people get saved because God saves them. That's basic. But God also has assigned means. He has commanded us to disciple the nations. We are His means by which the corn seeds are planted. And we get corn. Now, we get it because God works, but we are the means by which this happens. So, again, folks, why is the church so incredibly ineffective? Incredibly ineffective at reaching the nations and discipling their people. Here's the reason. We've got our priorities wrong, and we're not doing it God's way. Priority number one, Dave, in my book, and I want you to check me on this. This is my priority. Priority number one, above all evangelism, above all outreach, above all things that we do, about what pastors do, what elders do, what evangelists do, what we're supposed to do with Dare to Share, above anything else that is happening, you must disciple your own children. We don't lose our children because they're not sharing the faith. We're losing our children because we as parents never discipled them. We don't lose our children because the church didn't have a good enough youth group and didn't bring Dare to Share in. We're losing our kids because parents will not do Deuteronomy 6:7, Ephesians 6:4. God commands parents to disciple their children. And if a man can't disciple his own household, how in the world is he going to disciple the nations? And how are his kids going to disciple the nations? Dave, doesn't it start here? If a man doesn't disciple his own household, how is he going to get to second base and disciple the nations and the church and everybody else? It's got to start with the heart of a parent turning back to his own child and tenderly, carefully, consistently every day teaching him about Jesus, exhorting him in the Word of God, getting connected with his heart and discipling him. And Dave, that takes years and years and years to do it. And yet we just don't have parents doing this sort of thing.
Well, I think one of the reasons is because there's something that may even be a little bit more foundational than reaching your children, and that's discipling yourself. If you don't walk in piety, your children will match that intensity. As Paul told the Corinthians, even so the Lord has commanded to those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So try and work faith in your own life. Try and abide in the means of grace and then push it out to your children. Push it out to your wife and to your family. But if you don't major in hypocrisy here. Don't say I'm going to evangelize my children and then go ignore all that message yourself.
We're talking first things first, my friends. Before you try to bite off more than you can chew and go out there and disciple the nations and get some big old youth group with 300 people involved and try to disciple a bunch of people across the ocean, you need to disciple your own family. And it begins, as Dave said, with your own piety. And here's the second priority. The second priority is to edify and build up the Church of Christ. So our first priority is to deal with our own family. The second priority is to go to the church and do everything you can to encourage, to edify, to build up the saints. The third priority is to reach out to others. And I look at it this way. These are our priorities. God wants us to edify and build up the Church of Christ. The problem is that a lot of churches are not geared up for building up each other. They're not there to disciple each other. They're constantly looking to evangelize and to reach out. And yet the purpose of the church is not to evangelize. The purpose of the church is to disciple those that are in the church. Look at Ephesians 4. The purpose of the church is to edify and to build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. We're to equip the saints. We're to equip those that are there. And here's what happens, Dave, is when the church says, hey, we're not here to disciple and to, over the next 15 years, work to build up the people that God has brought here, what you wind up with is some kind of least common denominator gospel message in the church, so that people in the church are never matured. They are perpetually in the nursery, theologically and practically speaking. So you never have fathers who are actually equipped to disciple their own children in their homes. What you have is an evangelism message every single Sunday ad nauseum, where people are invited forward to the same four points about coming to Jesus or something, and you wind up with very, very little discipleship.
And in a way, it's sort of a bait and switch, because you always hear the sales pitch, but you never receive the product. In other words, every week you get the sales pitch over and over again why you should get this product, but you never receive the power of the gospel because you're never really working through it in your whole life. All you're doing is coming to the altar.
But my friends, this is the second priority. Before you try to reach out, your first priority is to disciple your own family. Your second priority is disciple the church and edify the church and build up the church. So before you do any evangelism, you need to be focusing on the brothers and sisters, those people in the church that need to be matured in the faith. Now, but there is a problem here. There's a conundrum that a lot of pastors run into, and that is, as you begin to mature the saints, as those Christians in your church are living more and more like Christ and living holy lives, they don't look like the world. So see, now they've got a problem, because now they say, okay, we are not able to reach out, because if everybody is acting like Christians, what happens when somebody comes into the church with a bone in his nose? You know what I'm talking about here, Dave. I mean, we're not talking about cannibals necessarily. Well, maybe they are cannibals. I don't know. Of course, there's going to be a shock factor. But now we want to talk about what evangelism or discipleship or the beginning of discipleship looks like. And here's the deal. The bottom line here is that the best way to win people to Christ is not to invite them to church. I know that's going to be a shock to some people, but the church is not there to evangelize brand new people. The church is there to edify the saints. The bottom line is, you win people to Christ the way Jesus did with the woman at the well. You do a one-on-one. You ask her for a glass of water. You talk to her. You don't invite her to Dare to Share. You don't invite her to a Christian concert. You just invite her over for dinner. Or like with Zacchaeus, you go over to his house and you have dinner with him. This is what Jesus did. You go over to his house, or you have him over to your house. This is called hospitality. And Dave, this is a lost art today. You don't find this happening very much. I'm just getting into this myself. I haven't done a lot of hospitality with unbelievers, but we're starting to do it with neighbors in our neighborhood here. But our strategy is to reach out to whole families and get fathers to love God. Our strategy is not to go to women and children, because, Dave, you know, getting women and children, having ministries that reach out to children and women, is easy. That's the no-brainer stuff. But here's the problem. In surveys, they found that if a child gets to church, there's a 3.5% chance that anybody else in the family makes it to church. If a mom gets to church, there's a 17% chance that everybody else in the family will make it to church. But if a dad gets to church, there's a 93% chance that everybody else will make it. The fact is, I think what we need to do is do evangelism like the Apostle Paul did. What did he do? He went to the Philippian jailer. He went to Cornelius. He went to the head of the household, the Lydia. Lydia was the head of her household, right? We have these examples where Peter and Paul would go to the house of Cornelius or would go to the house of the Philippian jailer, and they would witness to an entire family at the same time, focusing on the father. Dave, this is a weird strategy. The modern strategy says, bring all your kids down to the youth groups. Bring all your women down to a neighborhood for women's Bible study, etc., etc. But Dave, this is segregating the family. This is not witnessing to the entire family at the same time. This is not the way the apostles did it. What has happened to evangelism? Is it the same thing that's happened to education? Complete fragmentation of the family?
Well, evangelism in the modern church is pretty cowardly. It's leave a track and make tracks most of the time.
Yeah, and how effective is throwing 5,000 tracks in all the public restrooms in Colorado? How effective is that? That is anonymous. That is totally anti-relational. That's almost as anti-relational as preaching to 30,000 people in a stadium. That's not relational. Jesus was relational. He discipled the woman at the well. He discipled Zacchaeus. He discipled 12 apostles. And at the end of his three-year discipleship program, Dave, he had 12 disciples and something like 110 others, but not very many more. The fact of the matter is he focused. He did relationship-based discipleship. And in the end, that will work way better than all of the wood, hay, and stubble that's done in Christian ministry today, or a lot of the wood, hay, and stubble. Granted, there is some one-on-one discipleship happening. I think on the college campuses there's a lot, in homeschooling certainly there's discipleship happening in the homes, but it's just not the way it ought to be. And certainly within the church, we don't see this kind of one-on-one stuff happening very much.
Yeah, let's be clear. We're not against the stadium events. We're not saying that they're sinful or wrong. Jesus did preach to 5,000.
Sure.
And there's a place for that, but that wasn't his ministry. His ministry was not going from venue to venue, preaching to 5,000, 10,000, 15,000. That was not his church. His church was a group of men called the disciples who walked with him, who woke up with him, who went to sleep with him, who were with him day and night for 3 years, and his life rubbed off on them, and his teachings, that became the center of the church. He started the church with those people.
And the challenge here, my friends, is how does a church that is being edified, that is being built up in the faith, how does a church become a powerhouse for outreach, evangelism? I like the word discipleship better. How does that church become a powerhouse for outreach? It does so by means of hospitality. Jesus engaged in hospitality. He was always eating with the publicans and the sinners and the prostitutes, Dave, and that they were always accusing him of being a wine bibber and hanging out in hospitality in people's houses with people who were sinners. And this is what we need to do, my friends. We need to get into relationship-based discipleship. Have folks over for dinner. And I think Christians sometimes have a hard time climbing out of their ghettos and fellowshipping with the rest of the world. But it is possible. We can do it. And the best place to do it, Dave, I think, is around the dinner table.
And sometimes we think that we have to give them the four spiritual laws by the second course.
Yeah, exactly. Which is so incredibly unnatural. And here's the thing about God talk. I mean, when you are having somebody over for, you know, an evangelism or just kind of an outreach and you want to reach out to people who aren't in your little Christian ghetto, okay? Sometimes I think people want to get into God talk, and yet, here's what's funny, is that they don't really normally talk about God that much around the dinner table. You follow me? So if you have never really brought God into your life, and the family isn't used to talking about God, which I think is the average Christian family, you're talking about this, that, or the other thing, but you hardly ever talk about how God answered prayers today, about a lesson you learned in the scriptures, and how that applies to this particular thing or that particular thing. If God isn't part of your reality, of your metaphysics, if you don't live constantly in the fear of God, you're not really talking about God very much, which is the average Christian family, then it's really weird to break out and talk about God to these people who are coming over. It's unusual and it's contorted, and you don't want to do that. The fact is, I guess the best thing I could say to anybody is just be normal. Be what you always are. And this is it. Don't bring out some kind of a forced dialogue about something you don't normally talk about. Don't do that. And then don't call that evangelism. That's dumb. That's dumb talk. Talk about what you normally talk about. If God answered a prayer, then bring that out. Say, God answered prayers. And, you know, I think we had a good time with this family we had over for dinner. It was just a natural time. We actually got into some things relating to the Lord, but it was just natural. You know, we were talking about how God answered prayers and so forth, and they responded to that positively, and we were able to talk about some other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, again, make it natural, folks, as you reach out to your unsaved neighbors and those that don't know the Lord, just make it natural, you know, and deal with their struggles. Inevitably, some of the challenges of their lives are going to come out, especially as your relationship develops. As you get to know those people, they will bring out certain things. They might say, hey, I've been out of a job for a while, and you get use that as an opportunity to pray for them and talk a little bit about you know, how God provided you some work and so forth. So I think the point is, carry on with your natural way of conversation. Carry on with your normal practices. If you're used to reading the Word and you pray for the meal and you sing a song before the meal, go ahead and do that. We do that with our neighbors when they come over. Just go ahead with the normal way you do life. And the bottom line, Dave, is I think you're sharing not just your words, you're sharing your lifestyle. As they look at your children and your relationship with your wife, if you have been living the Christian life, you've got the bone out of your nose, and you have learned what it is to give yourself self-sacrificially to your wife, that's going to be the testimony. And that's the power of family evangelism. So much better than bringing them into the stadium with some Christian concert and hoping somehow they'll catch some kind of a message concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. There it is. Preach the gospel. Use words when necessary. But the way you preach it is you got to have them into your life. And if you are not including your unsaved relatives and friends and neighbors and coworkers in your life by having them over to watch you in your real life and the way you live, my friends, you won't have relationships developing and you won't see discipleship happening. This, I believe, will be the powerful way in which we will take the nations for Jesus Christ. This is how you disciple the nations. And folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. A lot of articles up there. I just posted a new article called The Mess. You're going to love it. You're going to appreciate it. Hopefully it'll be encouraging for your family. Just go to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on the various issues, articles, blogs, radio program, whatever. You can get it all there at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.